This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Weather State Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwin Realty in downtown Vancouver. I'm so fired up for today. We've got Jaden Lee on the show.
Past guest, fan favorite, Jaden Lee.
Realtor. Realtor with Creekside Century 21.
Yeah. Ran 100 miles. We've talked a lot about Jaden on the show, and he's going to come back to talk in brief about that run.
Yeah.
But really what we're having him on today to talk about is Chilliwack.
The WAC is back.
The WAC is back. Is Chilliwack the best investment area in the Lower Mainland?
In 2024. We get to the bottom of this question. I'll tell you what Jaden thinks. Well, actually, let's leave it
for him. But maybe we should say before we go any further, Brendan Augmentson was on early on in the year. He was talking about Chilliwack and the Fraser Valley.
Right.
We had our own podcast where we kind of followed the stats over the last 10 years and chasing affordability. And Chilliwack kind of played into that narrative quite significantly. Those were kind of the two reasons we were like, man, there's some opportunities out there. We got to get somebody who knows their stuff in Chilliwack. And Jaden's definitely that guy.
Also with density coming to the province, you know, we got some big lots in Chilliwack. Here's the thing, and I don't want to toot our own horns too hard. But Calgary right now, it's a busy market.
It's on fire.
Rents are going up. It's busy. Nude by Battistella when we brought it. We timed the bottom.
We did.
Calgary.
Battistella timed it as well.
Yeah. And, yeah. They went first.
They were the ones who went first.
That was really brave. And people that bought it nude, happy they bought. Nude's the name of the project, by the way. Here's the other thing. Squamish, we talked about. Man, did we told everyone to buy Squamish and didn't buy it ourselves.
Exactly.
Other areas we talked about. Langford kind of timed early on
Langford as well.
Yeah. Let's keep going through this because there are so many. It's just so many countless of his examples of talking about areas where we saw significant growth in that area. I had another one. It was on the tip of my tongue, but a lot of investors. Oh, here it is. Hastings Corridor. So Strathcona Village and then also Canvas. We rallied behind Canvas. A lot of happy people that bought in the Main Street area.
To have a time machine and go back to 2014.
But my point is, Matt, sometimes when we think about these investment opportunities, I'm sure there's been a few that we've gotten wrong. But this is actually a great one. Super excited to talk to Jaden. He goes through the numbers with you.
Yeah.
And so if you're at home and you want to grab a pen and paper, I think that's a good idea.
Absolutely. So stay tuned for that. Jaden Lee on the show. Super excited about that. Before we get to that, Adam, we should say this podcast is sponsored by Scalina Real Estate.
And we brought Melissa Moretti, host of VCREP, Vancouver Commercial Real Estate Podcast, on to talk about a really exciting listing.
Yeah, we have an exciting listing coming out in Langley. Actually, it just came on the market yesterday. The best part of Langley, one of the most desirable parts of Langley in Walnut Grove. So we've got a 3-bed, 2.5 bath, and it's fully updated.
Fully updated.
You showed me, I saw the photos of this. Yeah. Really nicely done.
Yeah, you know what? A lot of this stuff, so it's from the 90s, but they've done everything in this property. But the nice thing with the older property is that a lot of the newer stuff out in Langley is sort of these stacking 3-level, you know, small level homes. This is, you know, sprawling main floor, but they have done absolutely everything and lots of upgrades in the complex.
Wow. Gas fireplace.
Yep.
Powder room.
Yep.
2.5 bath.
2.5 bath.
2-bedroom.
Wally Grove.
Wally Grove.
2-bed or 3-bed?
It's a 3-bed and the beds are all on the top floor. So
fantastic. Well, if you want to hear more about this, you can head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com where we have all our featured listings on the site now, which is exciting. And we also have, of course, the button Sell With Us where you can get the sold plan.
Yeah, Matt, sold plan. It's a step-by-step guide for getting your home sold for top dollar in the shortest amount of time. Really, it stands for start on launch date. That's sold. And you pick your launch date, you work your way backwards. It's straightforward. It's evergreen. It's something that everybody should have basically saved on file. Melissa, just before we let you go, did you do a reel for this one?
I did. I was just about to post that.
Oh, okay. All right. So, or follow us at Vancouver Real Estate Podcast on Instagram. You will see Melissa walking you through Walnut Grove new listing.
That's right.
The hot new listing.
Exciting.
Fantastic. Well, maybe we'll leave it there and cut to our talk with Jaden Lee.
Enjoy. This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Soane House, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam. With 165 homes ranging from junior one beds to three beds, Soane House offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/soanehouse. That's S-O-E-N-H-A-U-S. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Okay, so we're here with Jaden Lee. He is a real estate agent in Chilliwack, resident of Chilliwack, lifelong resident of Chilliwack.
Yes,
born and past raised. Guest, fan favorite.
I guess so. Am I a fan favorite now?
Well, you know what? Based on how many searches the site that we were just talking about, how you're very popular.
You're very popular. Google is telling us you're the most searched for name or one of the most searched for names. I shouldn't say that. I don't monitor other people's names. I just noticed a lot of people have been searching
yours. Jaden Lee.
A lot of people have been searching Jaden Lee and we're trying to capitalize on that.
There you go. Yeah,
which is why we bought the domain. But we should say a lot of listeners to our program will know you because you're in the running space. You're a cancer survivor. You were on the program just recently. You ran for from BC Children's. All the way back to Chilliwack. How far?
It was 100 miles, 166 kilometers.
166 kilometers. And how much money did you raise?
Yeah, we raised $85,000, which was awesome. It was really cool. Like, we got a ton of support from the podcast reaching out, your guys' little snippets that you'd do with me for advertising. And it was so cool. We had tons of people from the podcast community come out and but Keith was like standing on the side of the road and
burning
me and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's funny. I remember that because that was like in Metro Town. I think we were running and you and I were like,
I'm like, who's
was that
guy?
Keith?
But it was
Keith and his kids, I think.
Yeah, we had tons of support from the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast community. And yeah, we were able to raise over $85,000, which was unreal. So combined with the last run I did 2 years ago, that's over $210,000 for BC Children's.
Holy.
Which is incredible. A few things I think listeners will want to know. How sore were you at the end?
It was when I first finished it.
But, I mean, I ran just to back up. I ran like under 30K and it was like walking out, getting out of my car when we got back to Vancouver. I was like, oh my God.
That was basically how I felt, but like way worse. So I got back to the office and when I was standing up and kind of celebrating and hugging everyone, it was fine. But then I sat on the tailgate of my truck just so I was like, I need to sit down. And then it was like, once I got back up, I was like, holy crap, yeah. Did someone help me? I was like, because it's the lactic acid started right. building up. My legs started messing up. And yeah, it was rough. But
that's like they say in the running community, don't die on the chair. Isn't that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But let's talk about a little bit about since the run too.
But hold on. I just have another question. It was 24 hours,
yeah.
more or less.
Yeah.
You finish in the morning, right?
It was
in
we finished. We started at 6 p.m. At Children's.
Oh, yeah. It was in the afternoon.
And we finished in the evening. It was like between 5 and
so
6.
So were you just from not sleeping that entire time, did you just crash? What was the...
I was in pain. Like, I was tired, but like, I was so physically and mentally exhausted, but like, I didn't really fall asleep quick. Like, we went home that night and a bunch of my friends were staying with me, and then we were all kind of hanging out on the couch and all of us were just kind of like slowly dozing off and then fell asleep on the couch. So we slowly did, but it wasn't like a fall asleep right away type of thing. But
and no food.
No food. I didn't eat that night. Like, your stomach is just so like...
I crushed like a large Pizza Garden pizza on the way home.
Not the night of, because like my stomach was just so like upset. I think of just all the crap that I was giving it over that 24 hours. So you kind of need to... But then the next morning I was like, went out for chicken waffles for breakfast.
What were you eating during the run? Like the gel packs and the... Or what?
You kind of have to go with like what works best for your body. So I was kind of... I had those gel packs every like 30 to 45 minutes. And then we'd stop every like 15 to 20 miles. And what was really sitting well with me, and you kind of need carbs to refuel and get that energy. So I was having a cup of noodles, like Mr. Noodles, every single rest stop. And in the middle of the night, that was great because it was warm and hot, and that was what worked best for me. And so...
Nice.
A lot of salt though.
Yeah, a lot of salt. And then you need that because you're sweating out salt.
Oh, right. Okay. So you're replenishing.
Yeah. But yeah, it went way better than I expected. Like, I only hit a wall really at 2 points during it. It was like 70 miles-ish coming back into Chilliwack. We had stopped and my stomach wasn't really hurting. Or my stomach was hurting, sorry. And I didn't really want to eat at that stop. And then we ran 5 more miles. And then I just got so lightheaded. I was like, that was a mistake. I need to eat. Oh. So then I had Mr. Noodles. And then I had a Red Bull with pre-workout in it. And I was like... going after that. I was like on the moon. And at that point, we were just playing music off my buddy's speaker, but I was like really feeling it. And we were coming back into Chilliwack. It was getting hot. And so like I had the Red Bull with the pre-workout in it. I put sunglasses on. That was the first time I used headphones. I just put on like pump up music and I was just flying that stretch. We were getting into Chilliwack at that point and a buddy of mine jumped in and he was like, when the next stop, he's like, you were flying.
He's like, you were running too fast for me and I just started.
Yeah. So yeah, it was awesome. So
2 other questions. Bananas. Did you eat any bananas?
Yeah, I probably had 1 or 2, I think. But I was having a lot of electrolyte packets and those have potassium in it.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So and then was there any moments where
you're like, one more question.
Oranges?
Oranges? We're going to run through fruit.
You often see, like, I don't know, I watch tennis. They're eating bananas all the time. Like,
for
cramping, right? And the only other thing is, and I think we might have talked about this on your show. I watched something about Terry Fox a long time ago. I mean, he ran across the country, but how moody and angry he was because it's really, really hard. Like, was there any moments where you were like, man, I'm just getting, I mean, that was such an incredibly positive group. I can't, and a lot, and like, you know, you had people running with you a lot of the way.
I got into like a negative headspace a couple times, but before I started the run, I actually wrote on my arm, 24 hours equals lifetime of memories, great ROI. And I was like, if I can just suck it up for 24 hours, I'm going to have memories for the rest of my life, which is like the best 24 hours for lifetime memories. That's a great investment. And so every time I got into that negative headspace, I like looked around, saw like who was with me, what we were doing, the fact that we were like running through down Kingsway, blocking traffic.
Yeah, I'm
like,
that was unreal.
I was like, this is all going to be over in 24 hours. I was like, don't be negative, just soak it all up. And obviously it's hard when you're like 20 hours into it, 80 miles in. But that's what I kept telling myself. I was like, this is going to be over so soon. Soak it all in.
And since then, what has been like, we were just talking before we turned the mics on about, you've met some big, big names in the ultra marathon world now. Mm-hmm. And you've been like going to events and like, what's kind of transpired since?
It was cool. Like I went to an event in Atlanta like a week after my run. And one of my buddies that puts on that event, I mentioned him last time, Devin, him and his partner, Jesse, they host these events and they were on stage. There was like a 1,500 people at this event. And Devin like got on stage in front of everyone. And I had no idea he was going to do this. And he's like, I just want to give a shout out to my friend Jaden. Like just last week he did this and like advertised it in front of everyone. And that was like at the beginning of the weekend of this event. And so like for the rest of that weekend, like everyone was coming up to me and introducing themselves. And so it was pretty cool. Like
wow.
Just from that. And then now just as of last week, I have a 15-minute documentary of the entire run. So I can put, if you guys want to share the link to that, I have it out now. So
yeah, I was watching it. It's incredible how, and I guess whoever was filming it, she's knows what she's doing, but it's incredible how the quality is like, it's like a major motion picture.
Well, like it was cool because for me, it was like, it wasn't just the run that she captured. Obviously it was like she captured like the emotions of everyone else. And she was interviewing some of like my family and just the clips of like, it was funny. It was inspiring. It made you like cry. It made you laugh. Like it kind of hit all the emotions and it was just so well done.
So Matt wrote Chilliwack ROI on his arm before we started recording.
I'm like, hold on, let me see.
Which is maybe a good segue in why you're joining us today. Because we mentioned a couple times on the podcast recently that, first of all, the stats are kind of telling an affordability story. We had Brendan Augmentson on recently, and he was basically saying that the Valley, because it went so crazy during COVID, then it was beat up so bad kind of during the most recent downturn. Mm-hmm. It's got the most kind of room to move probably is kind of how he phrased it. And then Matt and I were talking about just Chilliwack and kind of the surrounding areas right now. There's this idea with what's happening in the province and where, you know, we're seeing a lot of lots. You can do a lot more of the multiplex in Vancouver, but in BC in general, we're moving to density. Chilliwack is known for having big lots, right? You can still get a house for under $1 million.
Mm-hmm. With a suite.
Right? With a suite.
Yeah.
So a suited house that will rent well, sub-$1 million with kind of early to mid-term redevelopment potential sounds pretty good. And we've talked a little bit about that on our show.
Yeah. Yeah. So we wanted to have you back basically to talk all things Chilliwack.
Yeah, and it was cool. Like, I liked your guys' catchphrase the last time. Like, everyone has these dumb slogans in real estate, I feel like. And then you guys said, like, the whack is back. And I was like, actually, I like that.
Yeah, well, we were talking about the band Chilliwack. That's totally. Also
wait a second.
Chilliwack.
I think that was you. Did you actually come up with the whack is back?
The whack is back. I might have. I'm sure somebody's...
We better get that under trademark as
my
well.
Wife, my wife
Jaden
is
Lee
from...
under trademark. The whack is back.
Yeah, my wife is from the whack. So I feel like there's a whole, like when you grow up in Chilliwack, it's everything's whack and you rhyme it with whack, right? There's a lot of catchphrases for Chilliwack.
But yeah, you guys were kind of segueing into this. You were just talking about like kind of chasing the affordability. And I think that's how we kind of got onto this. And you mentioned that on your last podcast, which you gave that little snippet about we're going to have Jaden Lee on in the next couple of weeks. And funny enough, I actually got a call from a listener, Corey. Shout out to Corey.
Nice.
Who listens to the show. And he calls me. He's like, hey, I want to buy a house in Sweet and Chilliwack. Can you help me? And I was like, this is a cold call. I don't know Adam or Matt. Like,
yeah.
And so I already took
you have
out.
People cold calling you. This is
well, the other thing is
a good space
smart,
to be in.
Smart guy. Because I mean, I feel like the, you know, You always feel like you're too late in real estate. But even in the since the probably January 1st, I bet the momentum's changing in Chilliwack.
Oh, yeah. There's like things that have been sitting on the market for like 60 to 90 days. Like absolutely. Over January, December, I've just been sitting.
Yeah.
And then when Corey had reached out to me and he was sending me listings and I was checking the availability, like almost every single one was like accepted offer, So we're slowly transitioning back into those things that have been sitting for a while. Buyers are out looking again and people are making offers on things again.
And that's the same thing in Vancouver. It's like a lot of the stuff that was hanging around in Q3, Q4 now is getting absorbed, sometimes in multiples, right? Yeah. And it's sad. So which is wild.
Well, and it's slowly like it starts in like the activity, I feel like starts out this way, like Vancouver, Surrey, Langley, and then it slowly trickles out to Chilliwack. And so like, do you guys know like Ty Corsi from Instagram?
Yeah.
I follow him and he was just like a couple weeks ago. He's like, I had like 60 groups in my open house, 40 through another one. And that was a couple weeks ago. And now we're starting to see that like Chilliwack, you don't have that many, but like I've done open houses the last couple weeks on my listings and I was having 10 groups through every single weekend. So
who's just out of curiosity, who's coming through those opens? Is it people moving through the market in Chilliwack? Is it people wanting to move to Chilliwack? Is it investors? Like who right now is active in
the last couple years? It was more out of town people looking at open houses. I would say probably 70% of people were from out of town looking in Chilliwack. The last couple weeks, I think just because we're still like early February, it was more people Chilliwack looking and deciding what they were going to do. But I think as we start going into springtime and the market's starting to pick up, people are going to start looking in Chilliwack again, and we're going to start seeing those out-of-town buyers come through again.
I can't help but think that there's kind of two different people looking in that market. Like there's one, like the investor that we just talked about, that's looking at it from, hey, look, I can get an 11,000 square foot lot with a suited house on it, mm-hmm. right? And a good chunk of dirt. But then there's also this affordability thing that we talked about in the stats where there's so many young families that are saying, hey, like the drive till you qualify component as well. It's like these two forces.
Well, but and a third, right? Because it's the investor, the drive till you qualify, but then we'd be, you know, I think Jaden being a guy from Chilliwack we'd be remiss to say Chilliwack is its own thing, right?
Oh, like, I love it.
Yeah.
There's so many things happening.
Can we talk about what's going on in Chilliwack?
Yeah. Like our market, obviously, like all the markets, kind of blew up during COVID. But I think Chilliwack even, and Chilliwack was the one that appreciated the most and fell the most. And we're going to talk about that. But when COVID hit, people started working from home on Zoom, right? So we had a lot of people in 2020 that say, didn't have to go into the office every day downtown Vancouver. They could work from home on Zoom now. And so they kind of started looking at other options. And so people were selling their house, say, in Vancouver. They can work from home now. So they buy a house out in the valley in Chilliwack and they can buy that mortgage free just from an affordability standpoint. And so that's what originally brought a ton of people to Chilliwack during COVID, I think. And then I think those words started getting out just how affordable Chilliwack was. And then we had a lot of developers coming out to Chilliwack because our downtown core, there's a lot of older BC box style homes on bigger lots. And so we were seeing during COVID too, a lot of like a BC box on a big lot in Chilliwack, because in Chilliwack you need 66 feet of frontage to subdivide. And you could subdivide that into 233 lots. And so a BC box on a subdividable lot was worth more than say a nice house on the Sarda side, on the south side of the highway. And I had some clients being like, you're telling me like that BC box is worth more than my nice house? And I'm like, unfortunately, yeah, because
it's like the guys on the Nanaimo or right. any main strip in Vancouver, right?
Yeah,
like,
so
that's 2.6 now? What happened?
Yeah, anyway. So that was another reason why, because you could buy a BC box for like $500,000-$600,000 in 2020. And then a couple of years from now, it was worth like over $1 million and you could subdivide that into two lots. And so we saw a lot of activity through that. And then just Chilliwack's has grown so much. Like we have a ton of bigger businesses coming. Molson Coors has opened their brewery in 2019. The city of Chilliwack just announced last year that Red Bull is going to be opening their manufacturing facility there. They bought a piece of land beside Molson. And so there's
Red Bull,
yeah. So there's just a lot of like job opportunities and businesses coming to Chilliwack too. And it's growing like crazy. So
quickly for our Toronto listeners, what's a BC box?
It's similar to a Vancouver special.
Yeah. So it's just, it literally looks like a shoebox from the outside. You enter inside, it's likely a split level home.
Yeah.
So you're going to have basically like your rec room area downstairs with like a walkout basement, and people turn that in the suite. And then upstairs, you're going to have your kind of typical living room, kitchen, three bedrooms, likely just one bathroom upstairs. It's not too often you see an ensuite in a BC box.
Not the sexiest house, but easily suitable, pretty functional.
Yep.
And most of them are kind of the 70s.
1975 age range. So.
Yeah, got it.
The other thing is, and Adam spent more time in Chilliwack than I have, but I was out there actually to watch the end of your run and stayed a night. And that little area that's like where there's no cars downtown. There's like a brewery there.
Yeah. So like, that's why a lot of cool things are coming.
I was like, man, this is a pretty hip, like a fun place to actually spend a couple hours.
Yeah. So that's Five Corners, that area. That was like the worst area of town. It's funny. Like I joke around with my friends and I'm like, I never thought we'd be like hanging around down by Five Corners. Right. But the city of Chilliwack just did this big revitalization project and they called it District 1881. And it reminds me a lot of like Gastown. Like it's just a lot of walking and there's tons of breweries and restaurants. And they just did this whole like in December, they had put up like this huge 40-foot Christmas tree and these decorations and stuff. And there was like like these Instagram blog moms and Vancouver pages that were like, come check out Chilliwack. It's like the Disneyland of like, and it was like walking around down there at Christmas time. There was like a Ferris wheel and like, it was nuts. It was bringing, so there's cool things coming to Chilliwack now.
Yeah, I feel like the city's doing a lot of the right things too.
Yeah, and just with the outdoors, like we're like between two rivers, or between the Fraser River, between the Vetter River, we have Cultus Lake, like where I live currently. Like I live a 5-minute walk from the Vetter River, which is like world-class fishing, or a 10-minute drive to Cultus Lake. And there's just so much hiking and outdoors things to do. It's kind of like, yeah, I could see it in like 10 years kind of being like the next kind of Squamish area. So
fantastic. Well, I'm sold. let's talk more about the market, and specifically, like we've already kind of talked about the boom and not bust, but declines. But you have some numbers. We should talk about them.
Yeah, I think it'd be kind of fun and just kind of do like a little bit of like a quiz style. Just kind of go like average sale prices, kind of comparing between the peak of the market to the bottom, and then kind of compare things to like where they're at now.
And you can play at home as well.
Yeah.
Or on the treadmill.
Yeah, if you want to. So, okay, we're going to go peak prices to bottom prices. So we're going to start off with detached. So detached, the peak of the market for an average detached house, that was February of 2022. And so I'm going to ask you guys, what do you think the peak?
February 2022.
This is peak of the market for benchmark?
Yeah, average sale price.
Average sale price.
For a detached
home. I'm going to go, how specific are we going to go here?
I got my number.
Okay, and if you go, are we doing it like Price is Right? If you're over,
I go $1. You can't go over.
I'll just say the price.
No. I'll give you a guess.
I'm gonna go $1,050,000.
I'm gonna go higher than that. Okay. I was thinking about $1,150,000.
Okay, so the peak price for average detached house in February of 2022 in Chilliwack was $1,076,000.
Oh, nailed it! Oh, I don't know if you get closer.
Very similar guesses.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about that decline. So Chilliwack got hit the hardest. And so I think this prices went up way too fast, too quickly. Like an average house in Chilliwack shouldn't be over $1 million. So the bottom that detached hit was in December of 2022. So can you guys give a guess on the
December bottom? December 2022 was the bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting. It will be interesting to see what kind of price increases happened over 2023 as well. But all right, bottom.
I'm going to go $875,000.
Yeah.
We're at $1,076,000. I feel like I got to go. I'm going to go higher than that too. $925,000.
$745,000.
Holy. So that was a 30% decrease. $1,076,000 to $745,000.
Historically, 735, you said?
45.
45.
Brendan Ogmans is playing at home and he's getting these. But
here's a question. So somebody listening is like, man, that's boom and bust town. Is Chilliwack historically, was this like specific to COVID, that kind of boom and bust?
That was very specific to COVID.
Like normally it's a pretty
When you look at the line graph on the stat center, it's a very slow incline. And then you get to like 2021 and it's like all the way up. And then you see from end of 2022,
I've watched that market. It was totally driven by, it was a more gradual incline, right? Like it followed similar to
Metro. We had no supply. Like going back to the supply and demand thing, like we had like 300 active listings in Chilliwack. Like there was nothing. Right now we're around 800. So just like there was nothing. And so, it was, if you look at a 10-year graph, it's usually a very slow incline. It was just COVID that totally went out of whack. So 30% decrease in average detached house.
Wow. Wow.
So, okay. And then that was 14 months ago.
Did we already talk about this? Maybe I missed it, but what was the increase over COVID? Did you?
So I started real estate 6 years ago in 2018. And so since I have been in real estate, back in February of 2018, the average detached home in Chilliwack, the sale price was $590,000.
Okay. So it was probably, say it went from maybe 7 to $1,075,000 over COVID.
Oh,
it was March of 2020, it was $589,000.
Yeah, that's
really?
That's
a big run up.
From March of 2020, $589,000.
Pretty close to 100% increase.
I'm starting to feel like we might have further down to go. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. No. So, okay, we're going to wrap there.
So I can
Jane Lee, everyone. just kidding, Jane. No, it's so sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I can compare to now. So bottom was 745. That was December of 2022.
Yeah.
And so stats just came out for January this week. And so currently in January of 2024, we have seen an 11% increase from the bottom and we are at an average detached price of 826,000.
So 826. Okay. Currently. So 826 peak was 1,075,000.
So there's a couple hundred grand there, easy.
There's still a couple hundred. So like we're up 11% from the bottom, but there's still a ways to go before we get to the peak.
There's literally 250 grand there.
But let's just think about like what market, what's under, I'm just thinking like, because my point of reference is because I monitor Kelowna very closely. Like this is, you can be in the lower main, or you can be in basically bedroom community. Well, I don't want to call it a bedroom community. You can be.
No, it's its own thing.
Basically, you're in the lower mainland for under $1 million in a house.
And that's the only, because I checked.
Like, think about Victoria prices. Think about Nanaimo prices. Nanaimo always seems a little lower, but think about Kelowna.
No, but Kelowna.
And then just think about all the other sub-markets in the lower mainland.
Like when I was looking through these stats before I came on here, I looked at Abbotsford to compare too. And Abbotsford's average detached price last month was 1.1. So in the lower mainland, the only place for the average detached price under $1 million is Chilliwack.
Hmm. So what I'm kind of curious, that obviously the detached market is super exciting for a number of reasons. Was this swing, is this like, can it's, we talk townhomes?
Yeah, they're all very comparable. So I'll do the same thing with townhouses. So
can we guess?
Yeah. Yeah, let's do it. So February for peak of townhouses was same February, 2022. Do you want to do a guess for average sale of a townhouse in Chilliwack?
836.
Oh, that's too high.
Really?
Yeah. So sorry, this was average sale.
You think
price
there's
in,
that
in,
big of a spread on it's
in,
a 1,076,000
for a townhouse.
It was 1,076,000.
I'm gonna go 750.
764.
Oh, okay.
Jeez. But like,
okay, 836 is not that far off of 764.
Do you even watch the prices, right? Okay, so we got townhomes.
So that was in the peak. Yeah. So bottom for townhouses was October of 2022. So do you want to do a guess for that?
I'm guessing it's, you go ahead, Matt.
All right. 836. It was my guess. It was 764 was the peak. Oh, I don't know. 610?
Too high.
Really?
5.25.
No. 524.
Yeah. Okay, you looked.
I've not seen anything. I promised you at home. But think about.
Give me the percent on that. Do you have that?
That was 31% decrease as well.
Wow, interesting.
So detached was
30.
So
you're
30.
Just running with
never
the
too busy for your referrals. This is Adam Scalina. If you're listening at home. Okay, so we've got the peak to trough.
Where's it at now?
So take a guess. January 2024, what do you think average sale price?
What do you think, Adam?
Well, I'm just thinking if detached, I bet detached had a bigger uptick than townhomes.
Yeah, the decline though was exactly the same. You'd think it would be the detached would go first.
Can you remind me what's the detached today? We're at
826.
826. So I would say we're maybe 575.
Where were we at on the low
for townhouses?
Yeah,
524.
Did you say 575? Okay, but you added 10% on that, just like detach.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're currently for an average sale price for a townhome as of last month was $619,000, which is an 18% increase from the bottom.
So it actually outperformed from...
But it's an affordability
but
thing.
It's affordability.
But that's the thing, though. Yeah. It's from an affordability standpoint, a townhouse, a three-bedroom, three-bathroom townhouse for a young family is a great option.
By the way, because this is... And I just want to... When we say that the stats tell an affordability story, like we used to... So when I first started real estate, It was like, okay, the houses were leading always. Then it was like townhouses or half duplexes would typically go second. This is in terms of capital appreciation over time. Then you would have condos as like a third place. So if somebody wanted a real cap gain, you'd probably look at dirt first, right? Mm-hmm. Where now what the stats are kind of showing is that in many markets, it's condos that have outperformed everything. So it's just an interesting switch. So townhomes, even in a market where the detached is relatively affordable,
mm-hmm.
some people at home are saying it's not, but I'm saying in the context of
the lower mainland. And so the average, just thinking about, you know, the average home versus townhome, is it mainly new product or fairly new? Like when we're townhouses
are kind of like, for the most part, like there are some older ones, but for the most part, I'd say like kind of like 15 years to brand new type.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you're getting probably a fairly new.
Yeah. Fairly nice townhouse. Yeah.
For $600K.
You're taking us to condos next.
Yeah. You want to do condos?
Yeah. Now? Let's do condos.
Okay. So for apartments, the peak was in April of 2022. You want to give a guess?
Nope.
The peak of April 2022 in condos.
Wait, April 22. Oh, yeah. So a couple months after the other two. Okay. Yep.
So those were still kind of going for a little bit.
So let me just remind myself, what was the number for
1,076 and 745?
764 for the townhouses.
Oh, 764.
Okay. So I'm going to go 5.25, 525.
Matt?
I'm going to go 526.
765.
Yeah. Like, I don't know, 890.
Oh, man. Okay. It was 507.
Okay. Pretty close.
And then November of 2022 was the bottom for apartments.
Yeah.
Take a guess.
Low 400s, I'm thinking.
Low fours. And sorry, it was 526?
507.
507? Yeah. I don't think it's. It can't be lower than that.
415.
337.
What? Holy.
It was like they heard me say it can't go lower than that.
The condos got like really beat up.
They got beat up more than anything else. That was a 34% decrease. And townhouses and detached were 31.
What can I buy a condo for? Like, I'm just thinking here. Somebody is going, I want to buy something affordable, almost like Calgary prices. What can you buy a condo for in Chilliwack?
Yeah. So right now, at January of 2024, average sale price for a condo is $373. There is a new development that is across the street from me. It's in Garrison Crossing, which is one of the nicer areas of town. It's right by the Vedder River. And from a rental, like apartment standpoint, it is literally kitty corner to the university. So for apartments, that's a great option. And so for that building, studios are starting at $287.
So 287, what would that rent for? $1,500, you think?
12 probably. Because it's not like a true one bedroom. It's like a studio kind of thing.
But one beds are 15?
No, one bed's like around 13, maybe 14. Studios, like there's not too much of a difference between a studio and a one bedroom. So I'd say 12 might be a little steep, but between $1,000 to $1,200 probably for the studio.
What about absorption on the rental market? What's the easiest to rent out?
I would say like there's a lot of like I think always kind of like a basement suite, like a one bedroom kind of basement suite. Like for me, I own a rental property and it has a one bedroom basement suite in it, and I didn't even have to post it anywhere. Maybe because I'm a younger guy and I have a lot of younger friends that want that product. But for me, I had a buddy that's like, hey, my friend's looking for a one bedroom basement. I didn't even have to try.
Yeah.
You go to Calgary and we've talked about this on the show. It's like overlapping Vancouver onto Calgary. Mm-hmm. You misdiagnose the market, or you misanalyze
as being Vancouver centric.
Yeah, but you also what makes sense doesn't necessarily make sense in Calgary. In Chilliwack, it is more car culture, for sure.
Yeah,
truck culture.
Is it like our condos? I feel like, you know, single family homes in Calgary, it's like you should have a single family home, right?
Well, there's also too, like, so I have a lot of like younger friends too that say they own a truck or some toys and they don't want to live in a condo. Mobile homes are a pretty common option in Chilliwack too. We have a lot of mobile home parks and you can get a nice, like fully renovated mobile home for like $350.
Mm-hmm.
Hey everyone, pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
I'm wondering if, like, because the spread on condos to different areas, so say the drive till you qualify, I think it's easier to justify maybe if you're not from Chilliwack, because Chilliwack's a thing of its, in its own right. But I think for buyers, the gap between the Chilliwack condos versus other areas in the lower mainland is not as wide as the detached. So I feel like I'd still make it, or maybe even the townhomes.
Yeah.
So meaning that buyers typically will be able to justify maybe to stay closer to Vancouver if that was their goal, if they were looking at condos.
You said a studio was $287 at that new development?
Starting, plus GST.
It would be interesting. What's Abbotsford?
Abbotsford for a studio, for apartments, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Well, Vancouver, you can pick up stuff for low fives, I think.
Studios. I honestly, no offense to anyone listening from Abbotsford, but I just don't really care for Abbotsford too much. Like, if you're driving out
first. Now we have a title for the show.
But if you're coming out, if you're from Vancouver and you're coming out to Abbotsford, it's like you can drive another 20 minutes down the highway and you're going to be in Chilliwack, which is a much nicer area, I think. So
really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're really, and I mean, I don't know. Objectively, I think my experience with Abbotsford is I stay in there. It's like an area that we have family in an area that's like a, it's an old town, but it's, they've rebuilt all these houses, kept the brick and everything, and it's pretty incredible. But Abbotsford is generally, it's a more valuable community across the board, right? In terms of like price points.
Yep. But
so the market
favors
Abbotsford.
I just think from like an investment standpoint, and also just like there's more things to do. Like I'm a big outdoorsy guy, so maybe I'm a little bit biased, but like you're between the two rivers, you're 10 minutes to Cultus Lake, the amount of hiking that we have, like we have hundreds and hundreds of hiking trails, and I'm probably going to get a lot of slack from this from people in Vancouver. But in terms of like looking at like kind of a whole like Whistler to Kelowna map, Chilliwack is very central. Like where if I want to, like it took me an hour and a half to get here today with traffic. If there's no traffic, I can be downtown Vancouver in an hour. To get to the border in Abbotsford, it's a 20-minute drive. If I want to go to Kelowna for the day, it's only a 2.5-hour drive. So in the terms of, and to go to Whistler is like a 3-hour drive. So in terms of just like a drive, like for me in Chilliwack, I love it because it's central. I love going to Kelowna in the summertime. I go to the US all the time. I sometimes come to, like you're a couple hours of everything.
Right. Mm-hmm. What do you think, and before we got a lot to talk about, we'll get into the numbers, but while you're kind of highlighting all the nice things, the trails and everything, you were kind of talking about the future of that specific area.
Yeah. There's an application, they've been talking about it for years, so I'm not sure when it's actually going to happen or if it's going to happen, but there's talk of kind of another gondola coming to Chilliwack, kind of similar to like Sea to Sky and Squamish at our like kind of Mount Sheam area. And if that comes in, like that'll be a great tourist attraction in Chilliwack as well, which can do things for values and is bringing people to the area and jobs and revenue and that kind of
thing. Right. So there'd be Cultus and then there'd be potentially this gondola.
Yeah.
And then you also have Harrison, a lot of people.
Harrison, you have one thing that people don't know about is like the Chilliwack River Valley where the Vetter River goes up. You go up 40 kilometers up Chilliwack Lake Road. There's a beautiful lake called Chilliwack Lake up there. It's a glacier-fed lake, so it's fairly cold. But the amount of hiking trails that no one knows about up there is nuts. Like people go to like the Chief and stuff, and it's just so packed where you can go hike like hundreds of hiking trails down Chilliwack Lake Road, and I can go out in the bush and not run into a single soul all day.
Mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about this affordability thing. Another kind of log to that fire is, arguably, Chilliwack's rebounding, I haven't looked at other valley numbers, but like it's
rebounding.
Like it's rebounding faster than like if you look at the overall trends in where we're at for condos in the last year or 18 months, like 18% or whatever that is.
Yes, so like we're for dramatic. Detached were up 11% from the bottom, townhouses 18% from the bottom, and apartments 18% from the bottom. So things, we've kind of, I think we've already hit the bottom. Like I can't see things like there being much more of a crash again. And so like from looking at it from making some value in the next couple of years, like we've already got, we know we can get to those prices in Chilliwack. Yeah. It's a matter of probably they're not going to go up that quickly again. But I think in the next 3 years, you can make a decent amount of money in value in Chilliwack.
Right. Let's talk, can we unpack a property? Maybe talk some real specific numbers and feel free. I won't even frame it as a question. Just walk us through an example. Yeah.
So I was telling these guys, Adam and Matt, about this before I came on here this morning. Just saying that a property that I saw yesterday in Chilliwack, it was an older BC box style home. It was 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms. It had a suite. It had 68 feet of frontage. So you could likely subdivide that. It's over that 66. So you'd have to get approval from the city, but you could likely subdivide that. And yesterday that sold for $790,000. And so it was like pretty original, 75, like 1975 on the inside, needed a bit of TLC. But in the peak of the market, I went back and did a search. And so between January of 2022 to April of 2022, those I was saying, those subdividable lots, those were going up quite a lot in price. And so I looked in that same area yesterday after seeing that. And so for the same product, BC box style, 5 bedrooms, 3 bathrooms, over the 66 feet of frontage, between the peak there, the cheapest one that sold was 1.175. And yesterday one sold for 790.
Wow.
Man, that sounds like a deal. So I'm just thinking about the guy who was like, I think I'm worth about 1.2. And then he took it to the put his head in the sand for a couple of years and took it to the market last week.
Well, but here's the thing. I also, because somebody at home saying, okay, well, that's great. But I want a nice house in, what's the area on the
Promontory.
Hill? Promontory.
Yeah.
Like, what can I get? A big house on a big lot that would be like a great family home, maybe with a suite.
Yeah. So I live in an area called Sardis. So Sardis is kind of like this, in general terms, this kind of the south side of Highway 1 in Chilliwack. And so Sardis is kind of a more expensive area, but you can get the more affordable area of Sardis on the hillside is called Promontory. And so you can get like a nicer, like more up-to-date 12-year-old home that has a basement entry style home. It was actually 11,000 square foot lot, the one that we were looking at. And you can get, it's 3 bedrooms up, 2 bathrooms, 1 bedroom, 1 bathroom basement suite. And you can get that for one just sold last week for $980.
And that house, I should say, like that's like it was a really nice house.
Yeah,
like a big house, beautiful curb appeal. Promontory is
that the one with the hot tub?
Yeah,
had a hot
AC.
But it's also like in a cul-de-sac that like you could pitch your kids. No,
it doesn't. It doesn't look like it's nice enough where you're like that's not a rental property. That's like a really nice family home.
You can get
home.
A nice family home with a suite still for under $1 million. But that's the one that was like sitting for a while and now kind of sold recently. Yeah. So I'm not sure how much longer that's going to last if things go in the direction we're hoping. But
yeah, with the, okay, so the 12-year-old home, relatively new house, sub $1 million. Mm-hmm. That's an example of that. Okay. Yeah. So you got your options.
Yeah, your options.
So what, if you were, I mean, I think anyone listening is probably thinking, we all think the single family is the play, but what would you, if you were looking right now for yourself or advising a client, like what would be your top three investment, you know, choices, maybe in terms of property types first?
Yeah. Like I always like kind of agree with you guys, like buy land. And so like, I think the detached option is the best just considering with like where prices are at right now and where they did go in the peak. And so I think you could make some money there, but yeah, like my it depends on your situation too. Like myself, I bought that detached house with a suite a couple of years ago and I stretched myself a little too thin. And so, I mean, I kind of wish maybe I went for something like a little bit cheaper, but that's just my personal opinion. But I think from a value perspective, like when I bought basically that house for sold for $980, that house is basically identical to the rental property that I own. And so when I bought it a couple of years ago, when rates were low, I was cash flowing $500 a month when I bought it. And so if you can say detached house, buy it right now for $980, it was that, and the peak, that was probably worth 1.15 to 1.12, get a variable rate, suck it up for the next couple of years. And if the rates can go back down, you can maybe get some cash flow in the next couple of years.
And your intention at some point is to occupy this house like longer term?
No, I think I'll always keep this as a rental.
And what kind of rents do you get on that? And yes. Not you specifically, but yeah. so like that 980 house.
Yeah. So the upstairs on that one's 3 bedrooms, 2 bathrooms. It's identical to mine. And so you could get $2,600 for upstairs and then a 1-bedroom, 1-bathroom basement suite in that area would go for 13. So total, you'd be around 3,900.
3,900. What about that BC box?
So that one needed a bit of work and that one wasn't in a as great area of town. So I would shoot like, and when you're advertising it for the rates, I would say kind of maybe shoot for that and advertise the same amount, but you expect to maybe get a couple $100 less on both sides. Maybe more like 11 to 1200 for the suite, maybe like 24-ish for the upstairs type of thing, but still not bad.
And what I think we might've touched on this, but just to circle back, like the vacancy rate in Chilliwack, like how easy is it to place a tenant?
Last time I checked, it was around 1%, but I mean, it's very low. It's like everywhere else. But one thing that I saw recently, one of my best friends, his dad's a big developer in town and he just finished a condo building for rentals. That's 99 units. And I just popped into the open house to come check out the building and stuff. And they were renting out like hotcakes. There was like people that like, I want that one. They're like, oh, that one's already rented. So like, it's nuts. Like there was, for those ones too, I thought I brought the numbers on those because I thought it was cool. So those, that's like a brand new apartment building. So kind of shiny and new. But the 1-bedroom start at $1,475 there and the 2-bedroom start at $1,700 for apartments. And they were renting out like hotcakes.
So 25 should be no problem. Upstairs.
Yeah.
Just as an aside, and then we got to get back to your top three. We've got the number one, the land. But I've really noticed that the Airbnb new regulations have led to shifts in the rental market in Vancouver and listings in some buildings. It's you know, once you start looking, you're like, oh, it's pretty dramatic. Mm-hmm. Is that a thing out there? So, like have rents? Because I'm just curious.
Yeah. So for us, the big thing that I've changed with rents was where there's not a ton of Airbnbs as much in Chilliwack as there are out here. Cultus Lake, yes, but Cultus Lake, you still can do Airbnb there. For us, it was, we had the pipeline here for the last 2 years in Chilliwack. And so there was a ton of pipeline workers from Alberta that were here. And I knew some people that were on the pipeline and they would get a $5,000 a month live out allowance. So they had $5,000 a month to spend on rent. And so there was tons of guys that just needed a place for like a year or so. And they drove the rental markets up like crazy. So a lot of these things that we're looking at in the rates right now are a little bit inflated because now the pipeline's kind of ending and they're going off and moving out again. So we might see a bit of a swing just like maybe by a couple $100. But at the same time, like there's just still so many people coming out to Chilliwack and it's a lot of younger families in town. And so like a lot of people my age are kind of looking to move out and do their own thing. And it's one thing too with people my age. I feel like a 20-year-old would rather rent out a 1-bedroom shiny condo than say, get into the market and get a kind of a piece of junk for 200. But that's just how people look at it because it's shiny and new and they'd rather do that than get into the market and get something smaller. So I say over Airbnb, the pipeline affected us more than anything. But I just think there's so many younger families and so many younger people moving to Chilliwack that I think the apartments and kind of suites are still going to be okay.
All right, so we got single families number one.
Yeah. I think number second two, choice. Going off of what I just said, just because we have the University of the Fraser Valley in Chilliwack, we have a ton of people moving to the area. I've never found an issue with renting out apartments or suites, basement suites. So I think kind of my next option would be a condo because there's still, you can get a nice 1-bedroom condo, like the nicest area of town in Garrison for under $400,000. And
old would that be?
Like 12, but there's newer ones in that. So you could get anywhere from like, say a 15-year-old condo to a brand new condo in the area. And you can get like a 1-bedroom, like the older ones, one just recently sold in there for just under 400,000. You could probably get like $1,300 for rent on that thing, if not a little bit more. And those you have no problem because in that area, this area that I'm talking about, Garrison, it is literally in the same area as the University of the Fraser Valley. So you're going to have a lot of younger people that are wanting to rent that and have somewhere to live.
And last
townhouses.
I guess townhouses.
Townhouses, I would just, the only reason why I say townhouses is like, I think just because between townhouses to detached, it's not a huge spread.
Right.
And so the with the townhouses and the rent still difference, like you can rent an upstairs of a house for $2,500. A three bedroom, three bathroom, full townhouse, depending if you're an inside unit or outside unit, is probably going to be $2,200 to $2,500. So myself personally, if I was renting, I'd rather have an entire upstairs of a detached house over a townhouse, mm-hmm. and the rent's not going to be that different. So I'd put townhouses probably my
So
last.
You live in a pretty cool townhouse in a good, like a really kind of a hip part of Chilliwack,
yep.
right?
Yeah.
So what would your place rent for, you think?
Yeah, so I'm in that Garrison area that I'm talking about. Mine's three bedrooms, three bathrooms. It's a little on the smaller side. Usually for like a three-story townhouse, you're probably like 1,900 square feet because you usually have like the three bedrooms up type of thing, whereas mine's a bit smaller. Mine's just around 1,400 square feet. But that's because my third bedroom and third bathroom is...
How do you fit?
How does all 24 years of you fit in this ginormous townhouse?
Which TV room should I use this evening?
I have more space than I need. But anyway, the third bedroom and third bathroom's in the basement on mine. So it's just two bedrooms up. But I could still probably get $2,200 from mine just because of the area that it's in.
And sorry, what would a price point?
So they're around just under 600,000. Mine, the last one that sold my, it was like 587, the last one in my complex was.
So, I mean, that's, So say five eighty five or whatever, but the rent is 20.
So like for a price point wise, that's a great like price point for that rent. Mm. But the thing is, mine's a smaller townhouse, so someone that's renting that with three bedrooms is probably going to be a family or a couple, and the rent's not going to be too much different from say a detached house. So I just think for a point of easier to rent out would be the detached, even though the price is a little bit cheaper, but it's still, like I said, it's not that big of a spread. So I myself personally, I think it, like my townhouse, for example, would be a great option just for price point wise and the rental income. But in facts of trying to rent it out, I think there'd be more renter options for the detached type of thing.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Neighborhoods. So you live in Garrison, the hippest.
So there's tons of different areas in Chilliwack. So like there's like Greendale's the farmland when you're coming in. Then south side of the highway, you kind of Greendale goes into Sardis, which like there's different sub areas of Sardis too. Like there's Garrison where I live. There's Promontory where my rental is up on the hill there. And then kind of north side of the highway, you have like downtown Chilliwack, Fairfield Island, Chilliwack Mountain, Little Mountain. Rosedale is another, the farmland coming out of Chilliwack going to Hope. And then now you have like the Falls Golf Course. That's kind of like, and there's tons of development happening that way. That's the area is kind of called Eastern Hillside. So there's tons of different areas, but my, like where I live is my favorite just because of what my lifestyle is like. Like I can walk out my front door and be at a Save-On Foods in 5 minute walk. There's like a little village where I live. That's kind of like a little Whistler Village type vibe. It's got like coffee shops and Save-On Foods, kind of like almost like a little UBC type
of
area.
So walkable, this is where young people are going to... So if you were buying a condo or a townhouse, probably Garrison.
Garrison, because you have that walkability, you have transit there, the university is across the street, the Vetter River is across the street, you have breweries and fun things in that area. So if you're a student renting a condo, that's kind of where you want to be.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
So okay, Garrison's number one. Maybe if you just... I'm big
that's
on
for
right
the
now.
Attached, yeah.
Yeah.
Can you get detached in Garrison or in and around?
Okay. Yeah, I have a listing in there right now. It's a nice detached house in Garrison. It's currently 136.
136, okay. Yeah.
Other top neighborhoods?
Yeah, so I think from like if you were buying a rental property in Chilliwack, if you do want to be kind of on the, like I was saying, Promontory is a good option on the Sardis side. And from affordability standpoint, like that house with a suite and the flats in Sardis would probably be like more like one, where I live in Garrison, a house with a suite currently is listed for 1.4.
So there's like almost $250,000 saving.
Yeah. I mean, they're a little inflated, like that's list price, but there's one that has an offer on it in Garrison right now for 1.3 with a suite. So you're saving a chunk of change going up on the hill there. So rentals, like I like Promontory. So rental aspect, I would go Promontory. But there's lots of other areas that I like too. Like I would like to get a rec property at some point in Cultus Lake. I love the lake. I'm up there all the time in the summertime. And
Cultus is expensive though, right?
It's
20-year lease.
So yeah, the main beach area of Cultus Lake, it's leased land, but it's a government lease. It's not First Nations. So it's a 21-year auto-renewing lease with the government. And so you don't, like if you were to say buy a property there, you're not taking over someone's lease. You're signing a brand new 21-year lease and it's auto-renewing.
Do you pay with every renewal?
Yeah, it's a give or take that for the lease, it's around $1,500 a year.
Okay.
But when you sign the lease, it's $1,500. But then when you renew,
You have to pay that $1,500 per year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I'm saying when it renews,
Another 21-year lease.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
New rate.
Yeah.
What about, and just because it's a little bit different, you were saying before we turn the mics on, there's a lot of indigenous lands in the area.
Yeah, Chilliwack is growing like crazy, and there's not a ton, in the flats in Sardis, so basically the only flat land, there's tons of still hillside communities to be developed, but in Sardis, on the flats, a lot of the bigger pieces of land that are getting developed are First Nations land, and Chilliwack, we're very common with that, and we have a good relationship with it now over the last couple of years. When I first got into real estate 6 years ago, everyone was kind of First Nations land. But now, because in the last 2 years, that's basically all that's been developed, is getting more and more common. And so banks in Chilliwack are getting more comfortable with it. Lenders are getting more comfortable with it. And all of us are too. One to mention is an area called Iron Horse. And so it's one of the bigger developers in Chilliwack Diverse. They're building a master plan community there. And so what they did is it's a prepaid lease. So the developer for the next 114 years prepaid that lease. And it's for the next 114 years,
So a long time horizon, long-term lease. Yeah.
And you can get financing, no problem.
Yeah. So something like that, if you were to say buying First Nations land in Chilliwack, it's probably better to go with a local lender just because they're a little bit more familiar with it. A bank out this way might not as be it might be a little scared of it. Right.
Right. So. And I'm just thinking in terms of, we always talk about supply constraints.
Yeah.
With the, how is that? I'm trying to mentally map out growth areas. Sound like there's not a lot of freehold that's being developed. Is that right?
Not currently right now. There's not a ton, but I know of a ton of still hillside communities that there's a ton of freehold land that's still to be developed on in Chilliwack.
Okay. So it's not
it's not the end all be all. No.
Yeah.
The First Nation. It's not that's all that's left is First Nations land. There's still going to be a lot of freehold development happening.
So just in light of us being critiqued that our podcast is becoming a 3-hour Joe Rogan-esque type show, we're at an hour now and we haven't even got to the 5-wire. So.
Okay, I just had one more.
Matt, if you want to, your last question, Matt.
Yeah, I had one more and I've totally...
Banana?
Banana or orange on mile 3? The new provincial, we didn't really... Are you guys talking about that much? Because with those larger lots, what we've been talking about a lot is, outside of either on the west side of Vancouver or in Burnaby, you get the bigger frontage. Mm-hmm. You can build more units based on, what appears to be coming down the line.
Yeah.
It's kind of municipalities have to deal with that by June, I think.
Yeah.
How's that
kind of playing out in Chilliwack? There's not as much talk as you would think about it, but there is just in Chilliwack, a standard R1A lot, you can build a carriage house on it. That was kind of standard that came in years back. But I can see that definitely happening for sure. I know a friend of mine, he bought one of those BC boxes on a corner lot, and it was a detached house with a suite. And so he rezoned it, built a duplex on it with a suite, and now he attached it at one wall, and now he's got a fourplex there. So I can see, because we have those bigger lots in Chilliwack, I can see that happening, but there hasn't been much talk about it or that happening quite yet. So maybe that's something that could, though, that could be another factor in the future going forward for value going up in Chilliwack.
Yeah, I mean, you get the big lot and the redevelopment potential. So not even just the 66, but opens it up.
Yeah.
The 5-Wire is brought to you by Scalina Real Estate. Hey. That sounds familiar. Scalina Real Estate is a full-service real estate company serving Vancouver, offering comprehensive, tried and tested buyer and seller systems.
With over a decade in the top 10% of realtors in the Lower Mainland and a perfect 5-star Google review, Scalina Real Estate can help with all your real estate needs.
We also have an extensive network of the best industry professionals and trades right across the country.
There's no reason to not get in touch. Head over to scalinarealestate.com to find out more.
And I haven't read a book, but maybe you have. A good book recommendation since you were last on?
Right. Have you guys heard of The Gap and the Gain?
No.
It's a really good one. I'm almost done it right now. And it's I think the tagline on it's a high achiever's guideline to dealing with stuff. And so basically The Gap and the Gain, the premise of it is when you're thinking in a gap mindset, you're thinking about oh, I'm going to be successful when this happens or when I do this or when I achieve this. And you're not you're not happy. You're always in the gap because you're only going to be happy when that certain thing happens.
Right.
And it tells you to look at it from a gain perspective when, say, like, look back at the last 3 years of your life and what have you done in the last 3 years? And so rather than beating yourself up and being in the gap, it's trying to get you to thinking in a gain perspective of what you've already gained.
Like what you've achieved, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. So I think, like, for entrepreneurs, it's a great, great read.
Wow. That's a great one. Yeah. Okay. Question number two. What new belief,
yes,
habit, or behavior that you've recently taken on has most improved your life?
So I'm going to say, to go off of the book, the last, like, when I came on here last time a few months ago, I've hated reading. Like, I would say probably back in the summertime, I hadn't read more than like 4 books the last like 5 years. And then since then, I've tried to make it a habit. So I get up in the morning and before I go to the gym or do anything, I make sure I read at least a chapter of a book. And so, like, since I was on the show last time, I've probably read 6 or 7 books since then.
Good for you. It's funny. I have like a bunch of books on Audible and I listen to books while I drive and podcast, but it's not the same. I feel like actually just sitting down and reading is the best thing ever. It's just hard to find the
time. I can't retain the information when it's on Audible. Listening to it, I'll be like, I don't know what happened. Whereas I'm blocking out an hour in the morning to make sure I'm intentional with sitting down and actually doing it.
Yeah.
It's also like rebuilding focus and the ability to have attention on a specific thing for that long, which is deep, totally destroyed.
Deep thinking.
And that's what I was struggling with reading was like, I just felt like I was so like attached to my phone and like, it was hard to like focus. I would read a page and like to get distracted and think about something else. Yeah. Whereas in the morning when I do it, it's like 5 a.m, no one's bugging me yet. I don't even bring my phone to the couch with me. I keep it in the kitchen and I'm not distracted.
Well, even Audible or podcasts, it's like you do it in conjunction with something, right? Yeah. Like it's never just that one thing, right? You're either driving or you're on the treadmill or wherever, right?
Yeah.
Favorite band or music you've been listening to lately?
Up until like 4 months ago, I had never actually even listened to Zach Bryan. And I've been on a big Zach Bryan train lately.
You know what? Brady D, famous podcast producer, is...
The Podfather.
The Podfather. I saw him at some sort of fair or something, and I mentioned Zach Bryan. He'd never heard of him.
Yeah.
And now Adam saw him this weekend.
All he does is listen to Zach Bryan. He's like, you should really check out Zach Bryan. I'm like, somehow, go back in time. I told you about Zach Bryan. But anyways, then I told him about Jason Isbell, and he now is... He texted me... He's on a big Jason.
Oh, is that right?
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, all the alt country.
Zach Bryan. Yeah, that's it's hard. It's hard not to once you get into that. It's like, man.
Oh yeah.
See you in 6 months.
Yeah. Great music.
Yeah.
Question number four is
binge.
Oh yeah. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation?
I don't watch a lot of movies. Like we were saying this before, I don't really watch a lot of movies or TV, but I have been just like, I've been on the Rich Roll kick lately. Oh. Every night I just watch like an episode of Rich Roll and just, I'm so into it.
I hate to recommend another podcast that's going to maybe take away from people listening to our podcast, but
they've probably
Rich Roll, it's just, there's no
He's
better,
a master, eh? He's
there's
a,
nobody better at, I think, getting like better in terms of their questions, where they can take a conversation or how deep they can get on a topic, I think, than Rich Roll. I think he's the best guy doing it.
And just the type of guests that he has on, like there's people that are say like health and wellness, or like there's just such a wide variety of guests on there. Like there was the founder of Pixar was on there, and then there's like surfers on there, and there's like the guy that thinks he can live forever, and just like so many different types of guests that are on there, which I think is really cool too.
Yeah. I'm actually, I think Peter Attia gives him a good run for the money with questions and stuff, but it's different. Rich is more accessible.
I feel like Rich is more empathetic.
We can debate this off air.
Last question. Something you've bought for under $1,500 in the last little bit that has transformed your life in a meaningful way.
Oh man, I struggled with this last time, I think too. Under $1,500. I would say running shoes.
Oh, there you go.
Fair.
How often are you blowing through a pair of running shoes?
Well, they only go for a good like 500-600 kilometers. So like when I was training, I went through like 5 or 6 pairs of shoes like last year alone.
Wow.
And so I've had to go through, I bought 2 pairs of shoes just for my run and I've gone through those already. And so definitely now, like I've gone through probably 1 to 2 pairs since then. But I mean, that's a fairly obvious one. Like this running's changed my life so much, and a pair of running shoes is $200. So
what brand?
You're not sponsored by anybody yet.
No,
are
I'm
you?
Not. But if anyone's should listening,
yeah, yes,
holy,
yet
you should be. Yeah. I know.
Everyone's foot's different, so it depends. Like I got my foot scanned, and so if you go get your foot scanned, they can give you like what shoes are great or better for your feet, because my ankles pronate, like they go in a little bit. And so for me, the ones that work best for my feet, I wear Brooks Ghosts are what I roll with.
Wow.
Yeah.
Brooks is you know, it's funny, but Brooks had a down period when I was in like junior high.
Yeah.
But they're back and they're running.
But would you say kind of New Balance in line with like a
New Balance isn't really in the running?
Like, no, but is it? But I mean more like weirdly, it was like the least cool shoe to wear and then it's become hip, or is it more just that it's a good running shoe?
No, I would say like right now the most hip one's like Hoka.
Hoka, yeah.
But, and Brooks, like I feel like Brooks isn't not even that, I don't know.
I feel like, right, is it Asics?
Asics isn't that popular.
No?
Either. No. Oh. I would say like Hoka's definitely dominated the market, I think. But if
that should be a quiz, what
I know. You know what though? It's funny. I wear Hoka. Here's a quick story for everyone. I wear Hokas for the last say year, and when I got them, I was like, man, these are like, it's like running on clouds.
Yeah.
And then I've been getting these crazy cramps, and at least somebody at my gym was saying, oh yeah, you should be running without. Not on clouds because your feet are not like you need to stretch out your feet and all the she had this, all these reasons. I was like, oh, okay.
But that's what happens in shoes, right? They go from like no padding to like running their padding feet. And then they go back and it goes in cycles. But it's like, you know, you got to buy the latest whatever. But okay.
Yeah. So if Brooks is listening to this, I wear Brooks.
and
Brooks is not listening.
Yeah. Some, we know a couple things for sure.
Yeah.
So somebody out there is probably very excited about Chilliwack right now. They should be. How can people find out more about what you're doing out there? You're a good guy to follow. If you're interested in running, you're a good guy to follow. If you have any interest in the outdoors in Chilliwack, I feel like you're a good guy to follow.
Yeah. My Instagram is just _ Jaden Lee, JAYDENLEE. I post on there every day. So that's a good, if you just want to follow along. Or my number, if anyone wants to contact me, is 604-316-3111.
I was going to say, and if obviously you're a good person to talk to if somebody's looking for a property in Chilliwack.
Yeah, sounds good.
Well, thanks for taking the time.
Thanks. I appreciate it.
So there you have it, folks. Our discussion with realtor at Century 21 Creekside and friend of the show,
Jaden Lee. Ultra
marathon runner. You know what? He was, what is that? Everyday Run Club? Is that what it's called?
No, All Day Running Club.
All Day Running Club. He was the runner of the... They celebrated him. That's a pretty big company out of the U.S. They celebrated him as the runner of the...
And huge people like Jesse Isler.
Yeah, no, like, it's massive. It's,
anyways, that guy, he's making moves. Melissa, we still have you. We were just talking, you did a half marathon recently.
No, that was...
how recent?
Not that recently at all. No. It was quite a few years ago. But I've never been a runner. I'm not a runner at all. Like
You clock a serious time?
I don't know if I'd call it serious. 2 hours and 16 minutes. Not so serious.
That was
serious.
For the half marathon.
And then my foot hurt for a month and a half after, so...
But you didn't train, you said.
You know what? I'm embarrassed to say it, but I did not train. I work out regularly, but I'm not a runner. So...
Wow.
Matt, on the other hand, who is just slightly older than me, beat
just
me
just slightly
by,
older
by,
than you.
Yeah. He could be your fault.
I was going to say, call me granddad.
Beat me by quite a bit.
This is last year.
This is also the Mutual Admiration Society.
Yeah.
One thing I did want to say is just thinking back to our talk with Jaden Lee, he had a series of quizzes that I think Adam did significantly better on. And I just wanted to point out you did have the answers in advance.
No, absolutely not. This is crazy. No. Let's be.
Your wife is from Chilliwack. I feel like you
had
the upper
an
hand.
Edge because my wife being from Chilliwack. But honestly, I did not look at those.
But I,
Melissa, you got to listen to this. This is crazy. Like he asks a series of stats related questions, yeah. and Adam gets them almost to the number, and I'm off by like hundreds of thousands of dollars and percentages.
Yeah, I would say it's just being in tune with the market, Matt.
But there you go.
You know what the thing is though is that I think realistically there are huge opportunities when you think about more so the affordability. I know we're kind of beating that drum, but really, when you think about the value, I know a lot of people are saying Chilliwack, that's still expensive for Chilliwack. It really is not.
Peaks and troughs, holy.
But think about what houses cost in Nanaimo. Think about what houses cost in Kelowna, in Victoria, all over to be in the lower mainland, a good sized lot. And some of those houses he brought are really nice. You know what? We should try and actually link in our write-up on the page for this episode. We should try and actually showcase some of the properties we're talking about just to give people a better idea.
Yeah, fantastic. That's at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for that, what Adam's talking about. We'll get that set up. But we also have things like the LiveWire. This is our weekly mailer where you get stats before anyone else, different types of stats, deal of the month, VIP access to pre-sales.
Right.
There's been some big launches so far this year, and we definitely have very good access to a lot of these projects. We also have, of course, tried and true, private client services.
Yeah, Matt, if you are not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You get sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com/buy with us. Just click the buy with us button.
Or just hit, click that button.
Yeah, click that button. You get realtor level information. That's what you got to do. Matt, how can people get in touch with you?
They can try me at any time, 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
And Melissa, how can people get in touch with you?
You can call me 778-869-4477 or email me melissa@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also got that Kokomo line info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week and we'll see you next week with another great episode.
Take care.
2,000 Faces for Radio. Subscribe today.